This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Eki Gemble.
Oh, well, another year gone by. Can you believe it?
Quickly.
Okay, welcome, Leon.
Welcome, Eki.
Back. And we're approaching Christmas. We're recording on December 18th. And there are some Christmas presents under the tree. And spoiler, it is not Mordic 7.
No, it's not yet Mordic 7, but it's closer. It's the Mordic 7 release candidate number 2.
Yay.
So we're slowly inching our way up. The release candidate 2 is for stability, had a lot of bug fixes in them, no new real good features, or no features at all, I think. All the good features already came in the alpha and beta version, but now we want to get stable for the Mordic 7 release, and when we reach Mordic 7.1, I think we're going to see more new features.
7.1, yes, yeah. Yeah, we did talk about 7 features, etc., at length, I think.
Yeah.
In the last
the feature reaches episode,
yeah. But after that, the beta came out with even more features, and this RC2 was actually not planned because RC1 came out, and then quickly some breaking change in Symfony.
Yeah.
So there we are with RC2, and this one is actually fixed to the Symfony version, so nothing can break anymore. And we do expect the Mordic 7 release by, mid-January, I think.
Mid-January.
20th off, something like that is a current goal.
Yeah.
If it's ready. If it's not ready, it's going to take another couple of days, but early Q1, we'll see Mordic 7. And once again, that does not mean everybody immediately upgrade to Mordic 7.
Right.
You're free to do that, but our policy is more conservative that for production systems, we wait for the Mordic LTS version, the long-term stability version, to be released in whatever, Q3 or something, and that is when we will upgrade.
Yeah, talking about upgrades, we also had a bit of security upgrades that were needed.
Little patches rather, but important patches, because for all supported Mordic versions, that is Mordic 4, 5, 6, and 7.
A lot of versions.
Okay. 7 is not even out. 4 is only in paid ELTS support. But anyway, so it's 4 versions that the team had to prepare the security fixes for.
Yeah.
It's 2 of them, and then pretty serious ones too. It's not super serious, although the score is really high.
Yeah.
It's exploitable from outside users. It's more for like what we call privilege escalation. So if you're an unprivileged user in Mordic, you can get admin access if you know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, it has the potential to be lethal, but it's not as bad as it could be for that score.
Yeah, it can always be better. Anyway, it's no doubt about it. Everybody should apply those fixes right now.
Indeed. No doubt about that. So I'd say we head over to our next lovely section, and we got one man whose name will be a lot more present today.
And here comes your batch Dutch pronunciation.
Frederik Wouters.
Almost French.
I hope I didn't butcher that name. Yeah, Frederik had a lot of things he contributed, etc., in the last couple of weeks and month, and we want to just collect some highlights. And one of the things that I came across was his new email RSS plus bundle for RSS feeds inside of emails. I think it's not the newest topic. Some people came up with the idea to implement an RSS feed inside of a Mordic email, but he made a new plugin for Mordic 4 and 5, which really ties it together and makes it smart and efficient
and up to date. Yeah.
And up to date and secure
support,
and everything.
Yeah. Hopefully secure as well.
I hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. I think this whole idea of pulling content into emails from outside sources using the RSS standard format, that's obviously what people do, and it's a smart idea in some cases. And so we have the best tooling available now.
Yeah. Cool thing for Rick.
Yeah. One much more niche thing, but still very exciting, is that Frederik. His handle is Wouters, so everybody says Wouters. Frederik. He release another piece of code that is called unique login links. What that allows is to send like a long link URL to people, and when they click that link, they are right inside Mautic without even logging in.
Oh, cool.
Manually, that is. And obviously, this is like I send an email to you as a salesperson and say, hey, please look take a look at this company or this lead.
Yeah.
And then you click the link and are in Mautic. You don't have to the hassle of logging in. So much desired thing. Thanks, Frederick.
Yeah, very cool. That makes it very easy for like to communicate with the sales team and just telling them to look at this and that. It's great addition. Very niche, I see, but also great addition.
It's not that niche after all, but people just don't have that idea, I think. I mean, if they do a good job and have a proper setup, they have a direct connection to the CRM
anyway, so
they need that. And others send a simple email, and it's typically smaller teams. But there are situations where this makes a lot of sense, and not only in the sales team situation.
Yeah. What also makes a lot of sense when we take a look at Mautic's privacy initiative and the GDPR, getting rising importance every day, I say. He also think I contributed a forum post about being able to role-mast sensitive information for certain user groups on Mautic, which is also pretty cool and important regarding GDPR. So, for example, when we have two user groups in Mautic, one is just for creating emails and the others are the salespersons. The ones who create emails usually don't need to see every bit of personal and sensitive information we have in Mautic, for example, the email or telephone number of everyone.
Yeah.
And we can mask that on a user group level.
Yeah. Typically, the user group can either see the contacts, their own or every contact, whatever, or not. But not on a per field level. So this is a new level. And as you said, he wrote a forum post about this, but also said that he does have that code. He is using that and he's willing to hand that to people who are interested and also to make it better.
Yeah.
So it's probably not ready for prime time yet, but it's a super cool approach. And I agree. We have this privacy project coming up. This is a piece of the puzzle, definitely.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Again, this is. I don't think GDPR talks about things like this, but when we say Mautic is just the best tool out there for privacy-concerned users and organizations, then we can always get better let's do it. Yeah. What else do we have? We have our friend Riccardo Carabelli at Seven Cats.
Yeah.
We did talk about Seven Cats. What a cool name. In the conjunction of connecting to WooCommerce.
Yeah, right.
That is WordPress, right? And they went even further. They now created a WordPress plugin that helps Mautic sending to WhatsApp Business API.
Okay.
So which is a little bit funny approach. Normally you would think, okay, we have some direct connection, a Mautic plugin, whatever.
Yeah.
In this case, they have their WordPress plugin, and in Mautic we just issue a webhook, so standard technology in Mautic.
Yeah.
And that allows sending through WordPress to WhatsApp, Meta, whatever. In some regions, this is a big deal, I'm sure.
I think so, too. It's not the straightest approach I would have imagined, but I mean, if it works, if there's use case for it, why not?
Yeah, especially if you're a WordPress user, you may be interested in taking a look.
Yeah. Then I say we come over to our wishes. I myself wish myself like a nice car for Christmas. How about you?
I also wish you a nice car.
Lovely. Let's see if my wish actually takes place. Yeah, it gets more serious than Mautic wishes.
You don't even have a driver's license, do you?
I do. Nobody knows how I got that, but I do. we have a new forum post, and I think even a proposal by Wieslaw Golek. It's a new name for me. I haven't really come across that name in the forums or anywhere.
No. I have never came across Visa Up either?
No.
I don't, also don't have the backgrounds, but this proposal, he doesn't just say, hey, let's do it, but he also did a proof of concept even for, what is it?
It's implementing the Postgres database under the Mautic hood. Mautic usually relies on MariaDB or MySQL, but he had a different approach. And I was like, huh, can we let Mautic run on Postgres? And he even gave hints and an idea and a guide on how that would be feasible. And I think he's looking for people who are also interested in that. I think it's rather niche, but for people who use Postgres, there might be a use case.
I mean, you come across that time and again in larger organizations where IT is both totally fixed on one type of database. They always say, hey, we need every application to support that database.
Yeah.
And you even run across people who say, hey, can't we just use Oracle for Mautic? Because Oracle is what we do.
Yeah.
And same here, I'm sure. And it is a big deal. It's not trivial to just take the standard database and replace it by something else. Postgres is probably closer to what we do, so maybe it is feasible. I have no idea.
No.
But for sure, it's the right approach to say, I do a proof of concept, I do make my points, and I start gathering people who are of the same opinion.
Yep.
So nothing will happen in the core unless enough people say, oh yes, I need this too, and enough people say, oh okay, I'm willing to support this effort, because it is not only a one-time effort, it's an ongoing one. It is going to increase the maintenance effort.
Yep.
for all future to come. So if you're among those who really want Postgres rather than MariaDB or MySQL, do hop on the forum post and give it a vote. And there is even an official proposal in the community for hub. And we put both links in the show notes, and you should go there and raise your voice.
Yeah, very cool. Very nice that he uses like all the official ways, like having a forum post and even writing a proposal, like the correct and expected way.
And I have to say, we sometimes we do that, sometimes we try to do some shortcut, and it always fires back. If you want something really sustainably done, or get it into the core and be good, you better go this way.
Yep.
And make sure the community is backing your ideas. It does not mean everybody, but at least some significant quality or quantity of people with good reasons that will help support convincing the product and core team.
Yeah, I'm talking about good community. There's one name we came across again this episode. It's still it. Frederick Walters, because he also had some traction in the forum, not just releasing his plugins, yada yada, but also having some ideas regarding, I think he called it email waves. Or that's at least how it's called in Adobe. So sending out emailed over a certain amount of time. So basically a bit of throttling.
That's what we call it. And I guess his case is that he has a client, I would guess, who is migrating from Mautic to from Adobe to Mautic. Thumbs up for that. And the way Adobe does it is they give you the choice to say, okay, here are 1,000 recipients, please send to 20% of the bunch per day, or to 200 or what you name it, 123 per day.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we call throttling. The only thing is we don't have a good name, a good way, good technology for that in Mautic.
Yeah.
It can be done, but it's handiwork.
Yeah, manual labor.
So this suggestion here, it is an actual feature wish in the forum category, is to implement that as a proper feature in Mautic, and I definitely support that.
Yeah, me too. I can see the use case. It's a good one.
The other app is yet another feature wish from Wouters, and that is about data aggregation. What that is being able to fetch or to communicate to different sources, typically fetch from other sources,
mm-hmm.
On the way, manipulate, merge, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then get things into the Mautic database. So you may have a shop system and a whatever CMS system, sure, PDI,
whatever.
Yeah. And what in the end you want is have stuff in Mautic. Either you have contacts and segments mm-hmm. filled, or you work with custom objects or
whatever.
Okay. So juggling data, long story short. And what people do today is either do very, very specific hard-coded things
mm-hmm.
or more modern, I would say, is to leave all this juggling to an external tool.
Yeah.
Namely, N8N is very prominent these days and is very good at that, but there are
true.
Other tools who can do the same thing. Would we like to have such a power inside of Mautic? Definitely.
Sure, yeah.
Do I think it's feasible or it's our number one priority to replicate what others do as a purpose or a special purpose tool? I have to admit, we are doing some things like that as well for ourselves. But in general, I'm if somebody brings that to the table, I'm happy. But if not, that's not going to be the priority of the core team, I'm afraid.
I agree.
Yes. Also, in my experience, there are two different use cases which need to be understood and mm-hmm. maybe distinguished. One is more a numbers game,
mm-hmm.
like yep. here are 500,000 data points for my contacts, and I need to refresh that data inside of my Mautic database every single night.
Yeah.
So that's typically the job of an ETL tool, so mm-hmm. this mass loading of data.
Yep.
And then the other is more like workflow oriented, what N8N and others do, that per case or for a small number of contacts or whatever, some magic happens, and that is typically more complex than the loading.
True.
But not the high numbers. Anyway, so feature wishes, go to the forums, look at that, and if you maybe have your own needs that you always wanted to discuss, that's a good place to get started and to develop the ideas, get more opinions, and then turn that into a proposal or maybe into code eventually.
Yeah, I'm talking about feature wishes. I mean, you're drinking your own wine here because you also created a feature wish or an initiative or half of it in the forum regarding making the Grapes.js and CK editor better. So with Mautic 4, I think the Grapes.js editor was introduced mm-hmm. to edit your emails and your landing pages. And inside of the Grapes.js editor, we also have the CK editor, which is basically the editor we use to edit our texts.
Rich text
editor.
Yeah.
And it's let's say it's not perfect. It was a great upgrade from the legacy builder at all fronts, but it's still not like in a perfect shape.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say I'm drinking water right now. If I'm drinking wine these days, it's hot wine.
fair.
Okay. But without all technicality, I think it's a true observation that many people are underwhelmed with Mautic editor
mm-hmm.
experience. So people come from MailChimp or whatever you name it, use a Mautic email editor builder, whatever, and don't find it working as smoothly as they would hope. And
true.
The big goal here is to improve that impression. That's the core thing. So users should have a really good user experience when they try to build an email, a landing page, send an email, whatever. There is a small number of highly important things, and those fixed will already achieve 80% of that goal.
Yeah, I agree.
Then there are many more ideas, also more like feature changes rather than bug fix or behavior improvements.
Yeah.
And then there are under the hood improvements where the tech people think, oh, this could work much better, much easier, whatever, much more client agnostic. And all of that is quite a long list, and it's yet another one of those where it's not your opinion that counts or mine, but it's very important to get the opinion of everybody who has one.
Yeah,
true. And so with this forum thread out there, basically collecting all the thoughts and ideas, and we will continuously shuffle those and try to sort out what belongs to what and what are the priorities and what can be solved. And so that is the first step. Obviously, it's not solving any problem, but it's yet the foundation to doing that. Meanwhile, we are already tackling those that we consider very important foundation or very low-hanging fruit or whatever. So to get some tangible improvement really soon. And when I say we, that's really at Leuchtfeuer, our own agency, out of our own itch, because we also want our users to have a better experience.
Right. Yeah.
To be really honest, it's mostly about new users. Whoever has been using Mautic for a while,
they just get used to it.
They have their ways around this, and they no longer wonder. But then they have a new colleague, and it starts over again.
Yeah.
So I'm not proud of that, and I really want this to be better. So we're already doing first things, but I also know that Ruth has some project and some budget allocated to improving on the builder.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get that budget into action this year, and maybe more people taking on this or that improvement on the builder, and then maybe with 7.1, maybe with 7.2, whatever, maybe it's a plugin or a patch or whatever. But we definitely want the improvement even for Mautic 5.
Yeah.
So it will be there as patches. And for Mautic 7, I think eventually we should have that in the core product.
I want to get a quick intermission regarding, as you talked about, the patches, because we do quite have a lot of patches against the Mautic 5 closed branches, right?
We as
Leuchtfeuer, yeah. And I don't think we ever talked about that we have those and those are public, because I think we should. It's like it's there and for everybody to use.
Yeah, if you look at the Mautic GitHub repository, there's a ton of patches that never got merged.
No.
And I think there's a ton of gold out there. Like additional features, bugs being fixed. And we always try to avoid redundancy. So if something has already been fixed, I should rather find that and not fix it again on my own.
Yeah.
Now, why is not everything being merged? For one thing, whatever you fix in Mautic 5 now, it will not be merged because it is end of, what's the term?
End of life, it's not end of feature, end of merge.
it's only bug fix support now.
Yeah.
Or is it security?
I think it's only security.
Not even
bug fix.
So there's this life cycle. Mautic 5 doesn't get anything of that.
No.
Mautic 7, though, obviously is open to bug fixes. Mautic 7.0 will not see any new features. 7.1 will, so then they'll maybe still there. But so one reason is things are not getting merged because for that specific version, no merges are happening anymore.
Yeah.
The other is that every bug fix or every change in the code needs a certain approval, code review, quality, feature should make sense, people should approve that it does what it says to do, and so on.
It's a process. And
that is quite a journey sometimes. So to have the proper code, whatever, test coverage and to make the core team happy in terms of allergen coding, whatever. Not everybody has the stomach to do that journey from the beginning to the end. Sometimes it just stops, but because it does not get accepted, maybe it doesn't make sense. Long story short, there are many, many patches out there, or PR that have not been pull requests, changes that have not been merged into the core product.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell always, is it a good one? Is it okay to just apply that patch to my production modic system? Or does it really have some issues? Maybe it's not obvious from the thread in pull request.
Yeah.
You only see, okay, didn't get merged for some reason. And now I'm here and say, okay, can I trust this patch? And I honestly, I'm always conservative. So you say, yes, we have like umpteen nice improvements patches out there. My recommendation is if you run across a problem that you think others would have as well, then go to the GitHub modic and see if there's a PR for that.
Yeah, there might actually be.
And then try to figure out, maybe get in touch with somebody and say, okay, is this ready for prime time?
Yeah.
The other approach, and then we're finishing this, is to see things that got merged into 7. Sometimes there's a backport to 5.
Right, yeah.
And that's always a good sign. If it's merged in 7, then maybe the 5 version is also okay.
Yeah.
That applies to fixes and to features.
Yeah, totally agree.
Let's see this. For instance, this is copy and paste features for emails.
The email clipboard.
Yeah, that's which I really love. Yeah, you can take section from an email that you have and then go navigate to a different email, maybe a new one. Then you can paste that thing into that new email.
Yeah.
That's a new feature that did not exist in 5, but has been backported
to 5 and is merged in 7 already.
Yeah.
Things like that. There might already be a patch, might be a PR for your problem. Might be PR for something you were always looking for.
There's a patch for that.
Yeah, I just need to dig.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, another great addition, now talking about Mordic 7 again, is the phase 2 of the Mordic campaign library initiative got funding by the NLNet and the European Commission. The first phase was about being able to export and import campaigns.
Including everything
that comes with it, all the custom fields, whatever you name it, and you could manually do it. It's working in Mordic 7 already, but the phase 2 is regarding having a real library for it. So you have an online searchable, let's say, library or tool, and you can just look for double opt-in campaign, for example, and then you get a double opt-in campaign example, and you can just copy paste that to your Mordic, which is insanely powerful. It's something that I think, for example, we talked about N8N earlier. N8N did that, they have that for some years now, where you could just look up for a workflow and just copy paste that what other people contributed. And now Mordic is stepping up and having that too.
In all fairness, a workflow in N8N is super simple.
But the idea was there. And
Of course, yeah.
Now we did have the idea years ago, but now we have the funding and the project for it.
I love that you can install existing ones and use them, but I think even more important is learning, is inspiration, what you can do, and also understand how it can be done.
Yeah.
And then maybe do it differently, do it even better, learn, give back to others. I love it. And also, the idea is not only old, but some people here and there tried this export-import feature.
Yeah.
And we tried to get all the experience from those early approaches into this official project. And I'm excited about that. Big deal.
Mordic 7 has just so much to offer. It's just one of the facets of it, but I'm really excited for what's about to come.
There's another thing I'd like to touch on really briefly, and another initiative, and that is the AI initiative.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And not a brand new thing anymore. It's a bit of an elephant in the room also, that there's a lot of AI things going on. Things get published. We have a new set of MD files that help programmers to instruct their AIs better. So like Claude MD, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We have this MCP server, and we have, you name it, a lot of things coming out now. And we have this official initiative that tries to turn things into a stable and a sustainable foundation inside of Mautic and inside of Mautic's values. And we have a lead for that initiative, and that's our good friend Lukas Siegel.
Yeah, shout out Lukas.
Yeah, greetings to Switzerland. And I am also very excited because this initiative needs a lot of love. It has such tremendous potential and so many good contributors, but it needs to turn up the pace and
have a strong lead, just guiding.
And Lukas, good one.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I think now we can move into the community section, right?
I kind of have a feeling we're already there.
Kind of.
But I know where you're going to. Yeah. And that is the General Assembly.
The
right?
General Assembly, yeah. The General Assembly is taking place in January on the 21st. And it's quite soon.
I just noticed that the current schedule for Mautic 7 is January 20th. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, the GA is the main body of Mautic. This is where the top decisions are made. Right, nothing is above the General Assembly. It is formed obviously by the members of Mautic. So as you already know, Mautic is not owned by anyone. It is just embodied by its members. It is technically under the umbrella of Open Source Collective, but we make all the decisions, we make all the calls, and we is the members. And a member can be everybody, can be individuals like you and me, and I think you're a member. Certainly am, yeah. It can be organizations like corporate membership, and that is For individuals, it's a handful of dollars per year. For corporations, you can opt for different tiers. And that entitles you to be part of this General Assembly and do other things over the course of the year, obviously. But it is really important because the directions that Mautic take are determined top down. Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of input bottom up, but in the end, strategic decisions, also financial decisions, etc., personnel decisions, that's all coming from the membership.
Right.
The other thing is that being a corporate member is also a sign of dedication.
Right.
It is also financially supporting the cause, and that is super important and is even more important this year because at the GA, Ruth will have to present some bad news to the community, and that is that some of the income that were budgeted in for the next year will probably not happen.
Yeah.
So we have a substantial gap in our financial planning. That means we also have to cut back on the costs. So, for instance, Ruth will only be available 4 out of 5 days per week. We will not have funded development. We will not do this, do not do that. So we have to slow down Mautic. And that is a very bad situation.
Yeah, we don't want to slow down.
Yeah.
But we kind of have no choice, right?
Well, as long as we don't have the income to sustain the cost, then we have to adjust that to be stable. But in my mind, there is a lot of potential out there of corporate members. That's, to me, the biggest deal. Those who earn money by using Mautic I think there's no excuse. They should be a paying member and not on the lowest tier. We are now introducing also those tiers based on the Big Mac index. So basically, first world country people will pay more, or agencies rather, than developing countries, etc.
They are, yeah.
That is a good thing. So even less excuse for people and organizations to be a member and support Mautic. If you cannot afford it financially, you will find other ways, but we absolutely need some substantial financial support more than we currently have. If you are already a member, please consider stepping or raising the level. Like we do, we go from gold to platinum this year.
Yeah.
So that is not because platinum is so much greater for us, but because we think Mautic is important for us and we don't want it to struggle. And we just give back. Okay, let's move from this. The GA, of course, there will be other topics than that, but I would love if we could see more organizations taking responsibility here. What else at the GA? There is some, of course, some reports, but some voting, some proposals, and a lot of under the hood things that you won't learn otherwise. For instance, the financial report will be very detailed. You can see all the numbers, very transparent. But interesting things outside of financial topics, to me, those are the more interesting things. Okay. What else is in the community space?
Oh, I think, if I remember correctly, we also have some newer way of contributing to Mautic. It's by becoming a Mautic ambassador. It's a program that's just like taking off and getting started here and there. It's basically an ambassador is responsible or taking responsibility to grow Mautic in their own, let's say, space, which could be your local region, which could be your university, or even bigger, there's no real like level to that. But it's about motivating others, getting together, just like having, for example, smaller groups at your university talking about Mautic and just getting people together and growing out the love for Mautic and marketing automation.
Yeah, it's about spearheading local communities. And I think it's mostly about regions.
Yeah.
At least what we see now is either countries or multiple countries or cities and regions. And so we have that popping up in very different places of the world right now, which is cool. For us in the German-speaking countries, we have a little different approach because there is an existing local community which gathers every month. And we're planning to do an in-person meetup or Mauticamp early next year, 2026.
Yep.
And that is where we will discuss the ambassadorship, who should be the spearhead for the DACH region.
And then meetup, even besides the ambassador voting, will be very great. I'm quite excited.
Yeah, of course. let's not start there because that's yet another topic. It's a really cool thing. Shall we talk about another sort of meetup?
Yeah, a smaller meetup that took place since we had our last episode. You could call it the Mautic World Conference. It's not that small of a meetup, but it was great. We as Leuchtfeuer attended in London for the in-person conference, and it was amazing. So much talks, so much high quality, like networking, talking to people, seeing the core of the community again, having nice venue. There's just so much good things to point out.
I think the overall impression was just this is energy. Wow, finally again we meet with so many like-minded people and everybody excited and shall we talk about the song here? No. You want to sing it?
No, I don't remember anything. But
okay. But spoiler, we do have a Mautic hymn, which is...
you seem a bit lost for words. It's on Spotify.
You can find it. Yeah, please get your own impression.
besides introducing a new hymn, it was like a great event. Yeah. And even the hymn we're singing together was a bit, you know, new to a lot of people, I think.
The singing, yeah. But the listening is once you have it in your ear, it's hard to get it out.
Yeah, it's an earworm.
Yeah, okay, but that was a total sidetrack indeed. We had full day, very, very long day, very short breaks, two tracks in parallel.
So very intense,
I'd say. Intense, yeah. At the end of the day, I think everybody was stuffed.
Yeah, food was good.
Oh, yeah, that too. And we had wonderful speakers, very good keynotes, and very, very good variety of topics and people and so on. So that was a huge success.
Yeah.
The venue, you already brought out the venue, but I think we should.
Amazing. We went at the Sea Containers, a venue which was right next to the Thames. You could see the London Eye from the balcony. It was super nice. Thanks, Sven Döring, for organizing that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And some more about London. So much more, but
we could have an entire episode, I think, just talking about what was happening and how we liked it. But I think what we got to talk about is that we tried out a new format for the Mordic World Conference, because we had an in-person event, and very close to that we had an online conference, right?
Yeah, basically, in the past we had the online conference in around June, July, and December, November. It was the in-person in some sort of continent.
Yeah.
And this year we tried to merge that together, call it the Mordic World Conference, do the in-person conference and the sprint day, plus 2 days of online in the very same week.
Yeah.
And that did work out. It did work out well, I would say. But at the end of that week, those who attended both or were even involved in organizing were completely flatlined. At least I was.
Yeah, same.
including the travel, including meetings on Wednesday and so on. That was a very, very intense Mordic week.
Yeah, true.
And the online, let's talk about the online. We had three tracks there. Also some international tracks or talks in that. And in the end, we had pretty good schedule, pretty again, good variety of things and a lot of things to learn. And you will find all those things in the videos from the in-person and from the online. So there's a lot of quality content that you can find on YouTube.
Yeah.
Once it's published.
Soon.
Sure. But it was also organizing all that was a really hard work once again.
It
feels like year after year, it is harder to get the good speakers on board.
Mm-hmm.
Year after year, the audience is, at least in number, it shrinks. Everybody who was there, I think we all liked it, and I got very positive feedback about it. But it's hard work about a thing that maybe is no longer so desired.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and I think that's a general thing. It's not a Mordic thing, but people are not so much in love with these online conferences, especially when you can get the same thing on YouTube later. The networking part never worked very well. Yeah, the booth and all.
Just it's not the same. Like meeting someone in person is so much more intense. And
the point behind that is that we, as a community, we are very global and we
want to be accessible for everyone. Of course,
very inclusive, right? And not everybody has a chance to come to London or places.
Yeah,
yeah. So what we figured is we modify our approach once again and say, let's take that online conference and split it up and do a little bit every month rather than doing a huge conference format. So what we're thinking to do is do a monthly hands-on workshop session, Mordic Lab, whatever the name will be. give that out to the public and then say, okay, speakers are invited and of course audience can be there and have valuable talks and of course with all the Q&A and all, but on a monthly basis rather than all in one.
Yeah. That's also a nice experimental approach. I like it.
I hope it's also more lightweight, but more importantly, I hope it's going to be the right format for people out there.
Yeah.
Easy to digest and easy to get into your schedule. We'll see how that goes and we'll observe and adjust, right?
Yeah, right. Talking about that in latest 1 year after the next Mole conference. Hard wind.
Yeah. Good. And then there's the in-person. What about that next year?
The in-person? Yeah, I think I really like London and I think we should stay. And I think a lot of people thought that too.
Yeah.
So the next conference in-person will also be taking place in London. We're looking at the 4th of November, but it's not a fixed date yet. And I think we're very eager to get the same venue because it was just, there was nothing lacking. It was so good. And also like all the sponsors who sponsored the event agreed that it was a great event this year and it will be a great event next year. So they just stayed on board. And it's like finding a venue, finding a new continent every year for the conference is a nice concept, but it's really hard actually getting that organized and on the road. And I think if we continue being like in one place, it just gets more of a, like you get more used to it and it's,
It's easier. It gives stability, which is good for sponsors. It's good for attendees, good for organizers. And London was just a blast. And so I haven't spoken to a single person who said he or she wouldn't come back.
Exactly.
So save the date. I would say it's a good chance it will be the 4th, maybe the 5th or the 3rd, whatever. But nothing else.
May the 4th of November we with you or something like that.
Okay, this sounds like we're coming to the end of this episode.
Yeah, we should close it here. It's not getting any better.
May November the 4th be with you. Okay, thank you everybody for listening this year. It's not been too many Mordicasts. We've made promises. We make even more promises.
Yeah, next year will be more Mordicasts. Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, we have some good other things for the new year, and I guess we're going to talk about that in
next year,
another episode.
Yeah,
thanks for listening. We appreciate your feedback, and have a wonderful holiday time, whoever celebrates, and have a good time, everybody else.
Yeah.
And talk to you next year. Bye-bye.
See you next year. Bye-bye.